that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak as they sow, they
and
will.
And good morning. Turn it is October 1st, and it's time again for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We got the Radio Ranch Wranglers here. We hope you're out there tuning in. Pour yourself a good cup. You never know what you're going to hear on Coffee with the Wranglers. So tune in today, and we'll see what you hear. We'll be right back.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel's gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And believe it or not, that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning once again. Got a cup of coffee here poured. I hope you do too. And you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Ranch Wrangler Richard here. I got cowboy, charismatic, smiling, horse-riding Kyle sitting over here right beside me. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And just Jason down there at the print shop. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
How are things in Colorado today?
Oh, they're doing great. How about up there in Wyoming?
Oh, first day of hunting season. It's here. How many times have we talked about it? And here it is. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But, you know, the sun is not up yet. When the pastor built this little radio ranch broadcasting, a little more in a booth, I guess. But Kyle and I are looking due east, a couple of horses here in the corral, and there comes the sun. There it is right there, just peeking over. How about that? Well, Jason, as we're looking at the sun down here, how about if you would pray, give us a good opening prayer to the sun as well, but it's a different sun, we know.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come to your throne, Jesus Christ, and we ask that you guide us and direct us in this Radio Ranch broadcast. Pray that you guide us and direct us in our thought patterns and the direction we are to go, and we just pray that this broadcast can be a blow to Satan and his kingdom, to be a blow to his children, Father. And right now we come with the power and authority that we have, and we bind the children of the devil, the tares, the wicked seed that are across this land. We bind them, we cinch those knots down tight, and we wheel them to your feet that they can have no effect upon us. We call for it to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing upon the saints across this land. Father, these times that we're living in, we pray that you comfort them, that you strengthen them, and that you look out and tend to their needs. We call for that to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to have this broadcast possible. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And it is a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. We hope you've got as good a weather where you're at as we do here.
It seems like summer just keeps lasting out here.
Oh, it does. It does. It is October 1st, and, you know, we've been out here a little over 10 years, and Jason, I know you've been out in this area most of your life, but have you ever seen this good a weather this late in the year out here?
Yeah, once or twice, but not, usually you got a lot more colder days, and then you get warmer days, and this year it's just been warm.
It has been, do they call that Indian summer, is that what they call it?
I don't know. We could call it an Anglo-Saxon summer, if you're fine with me.
Yeah, it sounds a little better to me than an Indian summer. But it has been beautiful out here. Yes, normally we've got snow, or like you said, at least some good cold days. And I don't know if we quite had frost on the pumpkin outside this morning.
It wasn't quite as cold this morning as it was yesterday.
But
yeah, has it even frosted up there yet?
We've had about four good frosts.
Four good frosts.
Yep, and two of them were this week.
Not good enough, though. There's still plenty of flies around.
Yep, that's true. That's true, but it is starting to cool off, you know, and you've heard us talk earlier in the year a little bit about the seasons. The Bible says to everything, there is a season, there is a time. Well, a new time starts today, at least in the secular, and that's hunting season starts today. We've been looking forward to it in more ways than one, and here it is. And so we'll have to see. I know there's a few deer down on the river.
Yeah.
Antelopes getting shot up here.
Jason might, what would I say, bless us with his own presence here this morning. Means it is October 1st, first day of hunting season, but I guess he decided to wait a little more.
I guess so. I know Jason's got his hands full down there at the print shop and getting ready for video for church tomorrow. How's that coming, Jason? We got something good for
a good classic
for tomorrow?
Yep, good. Just doing the final touches on it, and it should be just about ready.
Well, good. Good. And so, folks, we invite you to church. Excuse me, fighting a little something here. We had a couple visitors it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago now. We occasionally get visitors at our local LaPorte Church of Christ. Had a couple visitors that lived within about 45 minutes, and the man came in, and you could tell he was a hard man. Not, I don't mean that in a bad sense. He was a man, for sure. It sure seemed like to me. He's a mechanic. And sat down, seemed to enjoy the message. We were able to talk to him and his wife and his little boy after the service, and said he had not set foot in church in, what, 25 years, Kyle? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was since he was a youth. It was a long time.
Said he came up in, like, the Lutheran and some other faith, and said he just hated the hypocrisy that he saw there. That he hated the hypocrisy, and so he left and hadn't been back. Now, he's definitely one of us, I do believe. And it's just amazing how that's one more thing, one more way that the enemy keeps us separated from God, is that it runs, it's, and we say that it's not a bad thing to not go to church, because the churches have become so corrupted. They have just become so absolutely corrupted, whether it's small local churches or the big mega churches. You know, Jason, in your morning prayer, you were talking about, and I don't think I have the news article here, but you were talking about binding and loosing, binding Satan and all his demons, and we've sure learned that. We've learned that that's a biblical thing to do. It's a very important thing to do for the Christian, for the mature Christian. And it was just maybe a week ago, I got an email. Somebody had sent it to me, and it's this. It's a big, more of an online. They have a big online presence, but a fairly large ministry. And guess what the pastor's putting out?
I don't know.
That we're not to be binding and loosing.
Oh, yeah. Of course not.
And I thought, boy, is he just listening in? And then just, you know, well, this is what came out of this ministry, so we've got to attack it. And that was the first thing that I thought. And then I thought, and I wanted to ask Jason this question. Jason, who would not want you to be binding and loosing?
Those that are going to be bound, bundled, and destroyed.
Amen.
You know, and it's interesting. People want to talk about the hypocrisy in church, you know, and I've seen it, you know, not saying that there isn't a lot of the hypocrisy in church, but in the mass churches across this land. But, okay, you take somebody that, oh, they don't want to have anything to do with any churches because, you know, of the hypocrisy in the churches. Well, you know, they're saying that they're better than the churches, and do they go out and do they do, you know, anything different? Do they study their Bible? Do they, you know, try to find out what is, you know, what is repentance? What is, you know, the true, what is true salvation? You know, no, they don't.
No.
You know, they'll go out there and they'll go out there and be a whore or a male whore and do whatever they want, go out doing their drinking parties. You know, they're nothing but a hypocrite themselves.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've seen so many people as of late that'll hide behind that. Well, the churches, yeah, the churches have their problems, okay? But if there's a problem with the churches and you want to do what's right, what are you going to do? Are you just going to leave the church and just be, you know, a person of the world and not turn away from your worldly ways or your wicked ways? No, they're not going to turn away from that. You know, talk about the hypocrisy in their own lives. And that's what, you know, people got to overcome. You know, yeah, there is hypocrisy in the churches, but are you going to hide behind that and let that be, you know, a veil that protects you and lets you do whatever you want in your life and, you know, stand behind, well, the churches, you know, yeah, the churches got their problems. I agree 100%. You know, most of them are Baal priests. The pulpits are filled with Baal priests as far as I'm concerned. But if we're going to overcome that and overcome and not be a part of that, then we need to work on our lives individually and, you know, study the Word and get the hypocrisy out of our lives and not just be a part of it.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes absolute sense. You know, the problem, you know, with all these perverted preachers on the pulpits out there, you know, is they bring in the hypocrisy by not teaching the Word of God, you know. So you got like this place that emailed Richard, you know, and was saying you can't bind and loose. Didn't it say you can't bind and loose Satan? Yeah, and so you got all this hypocrisy on the pulpits, but to say that you're going to leave the church because of it, the church is the body of Christ. Now, if you're already in the body of Christ, that means baptized for the remission of sins, and that's how you become part of that body. You know, to claim that you're going to leave it because of hypocrisy, you know, like you're saying, Jason, it's complete hypocrisy because, I mean, you're basically damning your soul to hell if you're going to go to that point. Now, if you don't know what you're saying, you know,
That's one thing.
But, you know, but many of them do know what they're saying, you know.
Well, and just like you said, the hypocrisy has come into the churches because they don't preach the Word of God. Well, just the same way is with these people that don't have anything to do with the churches, is because they bring in the hypocrisy by not bringing in the Word of God into their lives.
Right.
You know, how can you, you know, you're better than all everybody else that goes to church because you don't want to be a part of the hypocrisy, but you don't really want to look at the Word of God because you really don't care what it says anyway.
Right. And I think that ties right in with every now and then you'll see a small movement. We'll get emails or letters from people that, you know, say there's really not... You know, the role of pastor is really not there anymore. We're not to have it, just like they say you're not to tithe. And they'll say, you know, every man's a priest in his home and that, you know, you can just gather for Bible studies and not really have any, you know, the leadership we have is Christ. And that you really don't have to have a man in the leadership position. And usually we find that the people putting those out are men that want to be in the leadership position.
Yeah.
That just don't want who's in the position to be there. And how many times have we seen that? Was that one of the things your buddy down in Colorado, Jason, over kind of in eastern Colorado was talking about without naming names? I don't know if you remember, but
yeah,
I thought that there was one over there. I think you and the pastor had visited his house, even his quite big house. And I didn't know if that was something he was espousing or not, but I know that I see it in emails, and you get correspondence, and it takes me to Ephesians 4:11. Excuse me. And in Ephesians 4:11, we read, and it's under the subtitle of Unity of the Spirit. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And so if you stop right there, I think that we can see that he gave all of us different roles and responsibilities. And he gives some a certain way and some as others. And if you read a little further, it says why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. And I like that word work, because it reminds me of what Kyle's talked about earlier, that I think earlier this year anyway, about faith. Faith without works is dead. And I think we might talk about that in Sunday school tomorrow morning. But for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And, you know, and if you keep reading on, it says, so we're not no longer to be children, we're to be the mature man in Christ. And I, you know, in the homes, the mature woman as well. And I just liken that to when I hear these people espousing that, oh, you don't need a leader, you don't need any type of authority, and that's what it is, they're just bucking authority, is that they're like soldiers. You know, if you just get a bunch of soldiers together, you might have the roughest, toughest, meanest, best soldiers there are. But if they have no direction, if they have nobody saying, okay, now fight over here, or now do this, or now reload over here, if they have nobody directing, if there's no direction, then it's just like ants running around on an anthill.
Right. Yeah, you know what? What comes to my mind is with this hypocrisy that Jason brought up, is many are called, few are chosen, and there's a broad way and a narrow way. And many don't want the narrow way. Now, it's kind of been like a funnel in my life. Even though I've been a Christian my whole life, I look back at the earlier Christian years of my life, and it was pretty wide and broad. I mean, I wouldn't even come close to saying I lived a straight and narrow. You know, not that I was doing horrible things, but, you know, I was just fulfilling my desires, you know. And I'm not talking about bad desires, but desires. You
sure.
Know? And, you know, and as you go through life, me and Richard were sitting here talking before the show, and you have choices you make. You have priorities. And it seems like the longer I go in my life, the priorities make the path narrower and straighter and more on God. And it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as the years go by. Now, I look at some young people who are already there in their 20s where, you know, where I'm getting close to 50, you know, and it seems like, you know, and I don't know the depths of their heart or anything, but it seems like looking at them, they're already where I am now. And I think, man, that's fantastic, you know, that you're where I'm at now and you're 20 and I'm nearly 50. You know? And so you got all these called and you got, you know, these few that want to live the narrow and the straight path. And as you go through life, because we've had friends through our past where they come up with excuses, like well, the one we already brought up, and that's the church full of hypocrites. Well, I've heard, well, there's no right church. They all got their problems, you know. Well, the fact of the matter is there is a right church. It's called the body of Christ. Now, it might not be one single congregation where everybody's right in it, because you're probably not going to find that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But there.
Well, and even if you do find the right, the perfect body of Christians, as soon as you join it, it ain't perfect anymore.
That's right.
You got that right, Jason. You know, and so it is. It's all a bunch of hypocrisy. You know, but I do. You know, the guy who said to Richard and I, you know, that he hasn't went to church in so many years or whatever. You know, I understand that, because he probably went to a church where there was this pervert on the pulpit who was making the straight ways of the Lord crooked, you know. But then again, you know, you don't leave the church if you're already in the church. Now, I don't even think this guy's probably even today baptized from what I got, you know. But, you know, but the fact of the matter is there is lots of people out there who have, who are older, who were at one time baptized for the remission of sins, who left, you know, and they use these excuses, you know. Huh? Well, they're, you know, they're on a road that they should, you know, I don't even know if they can repent of, you know, because there is some scriptures about that, you know. It depends probably on whether they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit or not, and I don't want to get into that, but it is, it's like, you know, watch yourself, you know, because when you start making claims and your mind starts making, you know, these decisions, God might hold you accountable for all these decisions.
Right.
Anyway, sorry to ramble so much.
No, very good points. Very good points. So, well, Jason, anything big going on in current events? I know. I think last Saturday we talked about this big LNN alignment and everybody and
their
brother going to.
Yeah, we talked about that last night on the radio. We had McCanny on, and the interesting thing that was going on about that is I had gotten a lot of calls this week on it. So I decided that I better get in touch with an expert on this. This comment thing, and so we went on the radio last night and talked about it, and McCanny, he's been researching it, and his, what he had to say about it is, he said it's a hoax. He said everybody that, all the funding is coming from the White Hats that he calls NASA, and they're the ones that are putting out this disinformation, and they're funding both ends of the spectrum, so to speak. They're, you know, funding their opposition, and because he said there is no comet, and there is no alignment, you know, he said even the people that were talking 3 weeks ago that were talking about how it's coming and it should be visible in the next week, he said, you can't see it, you know, because it ain't there. And so he gave a really good report on it, and basically it boiled down to it's not there, it's disinformation, if people are putting it out and saying this so that, you know, when it doesn't happen, that it discredits the opposition to NASA and it gives NASA credibility. And as far as that's concerned, that's what we found out about the alignment. So, you know, and it makes you wonder, what if it's not a comment or an alignment that's going on? Then what is it? What are they preparing for? They were, you know, they had that Operation Mount Guardian down in Denver, and that was big news.
That was
after
huge.
It finally got out. It was a big exercise, biggest terrorist exercise that they've ever had in the United States. And the part that they didn't tell you is after they had that, then they went over to Denver International Airport, and they had training exercises at Denver International Airport on removing people from airplanes and taking them into their underground bunkers there. And that didn't get quite so much publicity, if hardly any. But that's what they're preparing for, natural disaster of some sort or a terrorist act of some sort. They're preparing for destruction is what they're doing. And that was quite interesting.
They don't realize that it's their destruction that they're preparing, do they? They think it's ours.
They think it's ours. And some of them, I think they even know. I mean, because so often they know the scriptures and the Bible better than we do. And they know that there's a destruction coming. They know the wicked are going to be trampled under the feet of the saints. But at the same time, is they just think that maybe, you know, I'm going to be one of them special wicked, and it ain't going to happen to me yet. And they plan on surviving, or at least attempting to survive.
They think they will. They do. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Like we said in the intro, tune in. We never know which direction we're going to go. We sure learned that from our pastor, among other things. But we know that at least we have the Bible as our guide. We have the teachings and the direction of late Pastor Peters to continue. Again, I like the way Kyle puts it. He's still our boss. His guidance, his direction, his instructions are still there and still valid because they were valid from the beginning, and they're still valid today. And so he says you temper it with the word, and that's sure what we do. Bring up things like current events, We just, we never know where we're going to go. You know, I'm just, when you're talking about that, Jason, I'm led to Psalms 91. And we encourage you to read that Psalms 91, people. If you think that these anti-terrorist activities are getting too close to home, you think that they're coming to take your guns, they're coming to get you and your children, and that they have all these bad things planned, you're absolutely right. They do have these things, this evil and wicked planned. But if you'll read through Psalms 91, that should be a comfort to you. Verse 2, it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so, you do have to trust in God. And if you want to be able to trust in God in the big things, when the Red Sea is on one side and the abominations on the other, and they're coming after you, or whoever it is coming after you, whether it's Pharaoh of old or Pharaoh of new, and you want to be able to trust in God and to be able to say that and understand that the Lord is your refuge and your fortress, that He is the rock of escape, my God in whom I trust, you have to be able to trust God in the small things, because those are trainings. When He puts the small things in your life, whether it's someone getting sick and going to the Lord in prayer, or trusting to God that His promise of if you'll tithe, He'll make sure that your storehouses are always full and overflowing, or looking to Him for deliverance, for help in the small things. And I guess they really aren't small things. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, once you get through them and look back on them, they seem small things. But in these dark days, we're sure not just telling you about the doom and gloom. We sure want to tell you about the good news, the gospel, and that gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can sure find Him from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelations. But Psalms 91 we'll sure put out there as a tool for you. It should be a faith builder. Got a song here, Jason, from The Man in Black. We'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
The chime of time, ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light we'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
It is no secret what God can do, and I want to share with you out there one thing that God has done already, and He will do again, and it's found right here in Psalms 83. Deal with them as Midian, who were destroyed at Endor. O God, make them like the whirling dust, because He's made them like whirling dust before. And it's no secret that God can make them like chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. It is no secret what God can do, and He's done that before, and He will do that to His enemies once again. So you might want to make sure that you're not His enemy. Well,
unless you're going to one of these Baal priest churches, then they usually try to keep these things secret, you know, because they start off with tearing out half their Bible and using that for a reference guide.
Absolutely. And the one thing you hear from them.
It's no secret if you read your Bible, but that's the first part, is reading your Bible.
That's right.
Trying to see what is going on in here.
You would think that all the Bible says is love when you hear these Judeo-Christians. Well, guys, we have a special guest that joined us during that song by Johnny Cash. Good morning, Mr. Ramrod.
Good morning, man. How are you?
We're doing
good.
Well.
How are you doing?
I'm abundantly blessed, as one of our brothers would say.
We appreciate you getting up and joining us this fine morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. How are things going in Mr. John's life?
Well, like I said, I've been abundantly blessed. Seems to me, no matter how hard we try to bless other people, you can't out-bless God. So God continues to provide in every need. And we're grateful for that. I know since Dad's passing, I've been into the book a lot more, reading the Bible, noticing a lot of the verses that Dad mentioned and highlighting them in my Bible, trying to reread them, understand them, and that's been a huge gift, I know that.
I agree with you there, John. I've sure noticed the same thing, that since the pastor's passing, you go back and reread scriptures and you remember, oh, he talked about that, and I remember him mentioning that in this verse or in this sermon, or we talked about that one time about this or that, and it is a living word, and it sure seems to have more meaning now that we've kind of moved into new roles and responsibilities.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah.
Well, about the blessings, John, we were blessed yesterday when we were riding, me and Richard were riding, trying to gather the last of our cows from the summer pasture, and, you know, it's a pretty good size chunk of property there.
Oh, it's, we had some summer pasture, it was four sections.
Yeah.
With mountaintop.
With four, well, I mean, with all kinds of draws and little crevices with all kinds of brush and aspens and real thick. Well, we just happened, you know, to pick the right route. I would say the Holy Spirit just happened, because there's no way where we found some of those cows we would have found them just on our own, because I mean, and basically, you know, other than riding a couple ridges, we rode right to them.
We did. I rode right to them. Of course, yeah. We were on the wrong side of the fence.
Well, yeah, we had to go across the fence, but it was a blessing, you know,
it
because
was.
You know, there's quite a few cows we still had to get in and.
Yeah, you left the flock and went after the one. So that's what Dad always did.
Yep.
Anyway, it was a blessing. You know, I mean, we could have been out there for hours. We could be out there right now again, you know.
Yep.
We here at the ranch are abundantly blessed.
Absolutely.
And we weren't doing it in the rain or the snow.
And that's what we started out talking about, John, the beautiful weather we've had. We're not calling it an Indian summer. We're calling it an Anglo-Israel summer.
There you go.
That we're having. Jason suggested that. And we are just having a good weather. And it seems like in talking with the remnant out there in the last month or two that the remnant is getting by. The remnant is also abundantly blessed. You read of all types of things. You know, people that have lost jobs seem like that they have jobs back. You know, we've talked to people that weren't working that were truck drivers, and they're back working. And
they're following God's law, though.
I think so.
Tithing, so.
I think that's what it is. God has His promises there for His people, and they are laws, just like the law of gravity. You know, and if you'll trust Him, He will take care of. If you will draw near to Him by reading His Word, by trusting in Him, by turning the TV off and opening your Bible,
amen,
then He will draw near to you. He will lead you. If you haven't been baptized, He will lead you to that need to be baptized.
Well, that's the only thing in the Bible where He says, test me.
Right. And it's the same way with tithing. If if you will trust Him, He, the blessings that our Lord and Heavenly Father have in store for His people are unimaginable. When we talk about being abundantly blessed here at the ranch, and you talk about it, John, you know, we just start to scratch the surface for the blessings that He has in store for us. If we would but trust Him, if we would look to Him for our health, our safety, our welfare, mm-hmm, even just our health, and look at the Bible food laws, just as simple as that. No, not following the food laws for salvation. The food laws don't get you into the kingdom. They actually, but if you don't obey them, they might get you there faster.
Yep.
And so, you know, something just as simple as that. But in the area, like you mentioned, of finance, you know, it's that crazy math we've heard about. You know, God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. It's just a law of God, a law of the God that does not change.
Amen.
You know, Richard, before we went to the song, you said, we don't need to be, you know, we don't want to be a doom and gloom. Well, the good news, the gospel, is only good news to those who obey it.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, this whole book is doom and gloom. I think there's a proverb or a psalm that says, the righteous preaches, or not preaches, but speaks of judgment. Because that's what this book is about.
It is, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up.
And, you know, doom and gloom, yes, for those who do not obey the good news. You know, it is a doom and gloom book. And, you know, I know the pastor said many times, you know, good news for some, bad news for others.
That's true. That's true. And if you listen on to our 24/7 broadcast that goes out on internet, shortwave, and satellite, I believe Monday, Tuesday, and is it Thursday, Jason, after our regular live program, we do have the reading of the gospel, the reading of the word. And it starts out, and Pastor and Kyle kind of came up with that intro. The good news and the bad news. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
The good news and the bad news, the gospel. And that, I'm so glad you brought that up, Kyle, because so many times we think that, oh, it's nothing but good news. You know, there's lots of, but even the judgment is good news.
It is.
For those that understand it. You're
Amen.
Right. Psalms 1:5 says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And we know that we are only righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We claim no other righteousness than that. But we can absolutely claim that, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when we've died with Him, and when we've obeyed what His Word says, when we have been born again of the water and the Spirit.
Yeah. I got another scripture the Lord brought to my mind here in 1 Peter 17. It says, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, or your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood and the Lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's what we need to remember.
Yep.
Amen.
And teach others. That's what I've been working on.
And where's that at, John? I wanted to mark it.
1 Peter 1:17.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting. This week they had a judge out there, Judge Patrick Filder, came out and says that individuals do not have the fundamental rights to consume the foods of their choice, and essentially related his position and the state's position that raw milk is simply off limits and that people shouldn't have the right. This is coming out of Wisconsin, the great state of Wisconsin.
The dairy state.
Wisconsin with cows and cheese, and I mean, that's kind of what I always thought of Wisconsin. There's an awful lot of cows going through Wisconsin, but they don't want people having their own cows, drinking their own milk, or raising their own food. And,
yeah.
Just talk about, you know, an attack of the enemy. I'm thankful that we live in a state where you can, but up there in Wisconsin, they're trying to do away with anything to do with cow shares, having your own cow, raising your own food, raising your own milk, making your own cheese. And it just seems like this is just trying. It's going on all across this country in small, unique areas, and they're hitting it hard, and they don't give it a whole lot of publicity because they don't want it to get out on the mainstream media.
We shouldn't be surprised, though. Let's face it, the terrorists are sticking their heads up.
Yeah, they are. What happens
all across
when
the country,
they stick their heads
the Lord.
Up?
That's right. You're absolutely right, John. The terrorists are sticking their heads up, and Jason, I like what you said. What happens when the terrorists are standing up tall and proud and haughty? And the wheat, his people, are bowed over with these ungodly rules and ungodly judgments and ungodly things against them, and it just bends them over.
Sounds like a good time in your sight.
Sounds like a good time to chop their heads up.
It does.
Yep.
That's when the reaper comes.
Amen.
It is that's the exact parable of the tares and the wheat.
Yep.
And we are seeing that all over. That's the time of harvest. You know, how many times have we been able to see a tear or two, and you want to just go rip it right out?
Yep.
And I know I had to learn that from our pastor, you know.
I know one thing I've been saying lately is, you know what, I don't really care what man says, because God's law triumphs man's law.
Absolutely.
And no matter what the consequences, I'm following God's law over man's law. And they look at you kind of strange, but that's the bottom line, you know.
Greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us.
Amen.
And John,
that's just the way. That's the attitude we got to have. That's the attitude of an overcomer. You know,
yes.
When you know, Jesus Christ says one thing and His law says one thing and man's law says another. Oh, let's think about it. Which one are we gonna? What are we gonna go with?
Yeah, but the dumb sheep are thinking that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. That's how far too many people are thinking.
This is a perfect time, you know. We came out with that ad Jason had made for the authority, obedience, and resistance, you know. And, I mean, that. And you want to talk about Romans 13, I believe that series or that little book or whatever, I think that covers that pretty well, don't it, Jason?
It does. It's an excellent book.
You know, and because, you know, what you're doing, John, is you're going to have the people say, well, what about Romans 13, you know, where you're supposed to obey the magistrates and all that stuff, you know. So,
right.
I don't know if you've got that handy with you, but it's a good one to have because, you know, I know when you're out there trying to evangelize or whatever you want to call it, you know, to people that you really care for, you really love, you know, you really want them to get the truth, you know, they have all this brainwashed stuff in their mind that you got to try to cleanse it out, you know, and the best way to do that is with the Word of God.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a kind of rude awakening the other day. A young man that I really admire, used to go to the school with my daughter, and they ended up moving to Tennessee. But I picked him up from the airport the other day and was talking to him, and I said, Jacob, you better be praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And he's like, well, what do you mean? Which one is that? And I was like, I couldn't believe it. So I said it, and he was like, yeah, I heard my mom say that. And I said, boy, if you're not praying that, you don't have much hope. And I told him, you better be praying the full armor of God on Ephesians 6. So then the thought occurred to me, the Acres of Diamond man down in Arkansas, who recommended that we do those bookmarks. So I gave him one of those bookmarks, and he was really grateful for that. And now I'm sure he will learn it, and eventually he'll have it in his head, and he can pass it on to someone else.
Yeah, you've already got him at least knowing that there is a Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
A specific prayer. You know, you got to start somewhere.
Yep, you
absolutely.
But then we got to talking about baptism. You know, it's an hour and a half ride back, and he says, well, would you teach me about that? And I said, I'd be happy to, you know. And
praise
he says,
the Lord.
I want to do what's right in God's eyes, you know. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But had I not striked up that conversation, you know, who knows? Might have lost him forever.
Absolutely.
Nobody knows his timing.
No, and that's another thing is there's so many opportunities that people and myself have passed on. You don't, you know, well, I don't want to get too heavy on them, so we'll just talk about, you know, the Broncos or the whatever, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because, you know, it is not the easiest thing to start the conversations. But usually, if you do love the Word, once it starts, it's real easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just getting
those days are over for me. I'm just coming right. I'm going right to it. Because, you know, we're in the last days here, 11th and three-quarter hour. And I'm firmly believed, just like our pastor.
Would that be 11:45 then?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty convinced that repent or perish, and we're right there. So.
Oh, it's absolute, because that is the word. And we really are at the 45-minute mark here in this hour as well, in the physical and the literal. And, ladies and gentlemen, what Ramrod's talking about is we did. We had an Acres of Diamonds man suggest that we get out to the remnant the importance of praying the Lord's Prayer daily, the full armor of God daily, the rifle and pistol prayer, and as well as others. And we're progressing on those as we can. And so we did. We have a very nice Bible bookmarker. It's laminated, and on one side it has the Lord's Prayer. And then on the other side it has, from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the full armor of God. And it's meant to be a tool for you to use, a weapon in your arsenal, either to help remind you, as John was able to share with this young man, a reminder to pray that Lord's Prayer daily, to pray on the full armor of God daily. And then if you have been baptized and you do have a little more understanding, we have the pistol and rifle prayer that is on one as well. But if you had to start somewhere, we would say start with this Lord's Prayer, full armor of God, Bible bookmarker. You know, order one, see what you think. If you want, order a dozen or 20 and just include a donation form. We sure don't get to make them for free. They cost us to print them and to send them off and get them cut and laminated, and it took time to put them together. But if you'll send a donation to us, we'll sure be glad to send this to you. And use it just like John did. Use it as an outreach tool. You know, be able to say, hey, are you familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Did you know you're supposed to pray on the full armor of God? And you could just hand this to some of your friends. And it might be that icebreaker that you need. It might be that foot in the door, so to speak, that you've been looking for to be able to start sharing the gospel with some people that are in your life.
Yeah, you know? Not only that, if that bookmarker sends you to scriptureforamerica.org, you get the truth, not what Google tells you or some other stupid search engine about some Antichrist version of what Scriptures for America stands for.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. The thing I keep telling these young ones too is in 1 Peter again, chapter 5, verse 6. You know, we gotta always remember that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences you suffer are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you, whose eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfectly confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, if you do gird your loins with the truth, and you are praying, lead us not, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. The devil's a coward. He's going to go for some easier prey. And that's what we need to remember, I think.
Well, and that's only sometimes. Sometimes he's going to say, okay, you really want to do that. And how tough do you think you are?
Yeah,
and
you're right.
He'll attack, and he'll attack, and he'll attack, and sometimes it'll get to the point where you don't think you can go on. And you just got to remember that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And it's a fight. When you enter into that spiritual battle and you put on that full armor of God, you are putting on your battle fatigue. You are stepping into the fight. And the devil sometimes says, okay, this is a fight. Now here we go. Now do you think you're tough enough to handle this?
Yeah, amen. You're right.
And that's what, you got to be prepared for that, because in a fight, both people get hurt. I mean, we want the casualties to be on their side, but more often than not, when you step into a fight, you're going to get a bump or a bruise. And that's just the way it is.
Yep.
But we're told to endure hardship. You know, an athlete, we were watching a little DVD we got about a professional athlete, and when you watch them and they're doing what they do, you see, here's a busted lip, here's a bruised chin, here's a big bruise on their leg. You know, when you're a professional, you get bumps and bruises. You know, staying in the second letter of Timothy 4, verse 5 says, "Be sober in all things, endure hardship." And
yep,
so
amen.
Understand that it's not just going to be the easy, rosy, perfectly paved road. Hardships are going to happen. You might get, as Jason put, bumps and bruises.
Yep.
But go to the Word to understand how to nurse them back, and stay in the Word to understand that greater is He that is for us than anything that can come against us. Than anything that can come against us. And we have to remember that. We have to put that full armor on.
You know, it's interesting that this week, finally, I guess just yesterday, this Occupy Wall Street program finally got a little bit of publicity. And the reason is because Occupy Wall Street protesters marched to the New York Police Department on, I guess it was yesterday. Kind of interesting, because that whole scenario has been so covered up. It's like there's been a blackout on the news. You know, Russia sent over a television crew from Russia to film what's going on in New York, and it was not on the mainstream media of this land. It wasn't on CNN. It wasn't on Fox. It wasn't, anywhere. You couldn't. The only thing that could be found on it was MSN or Yahoo News had a blip on it and said, what's going on with Occupy Wall Street? Where's all the coverage? And that's all you could find as far as mainstream media covering it. There were some YouTube videos and stuff that got out on it, but it grew over to 1,500 people, and then they decided to march on the New York Police Department. That, it got it a little bit of publicity, and people are starting to talk about it. But, the Russians, they sent in a television crew, and they tried getting somebody to the New York Stock Exchange building and couldn't even get them there. They couldn't get people to or from the building earlier this week, several days in a row. And, that's something that you'd think would be worthy of the news, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, even in some of their demonstrations, wasn't there even, like, baton beatings and things like that?
Oh, there was the beatings, macing, rubber bullets.
Yeah. So, they send people out all over the world to film all these demonstrations that are going on everywhere.
Yes.
But there's one right next to them, right in New York City, in one of the biggest known things there is in the world, the stock market, and they don't send anybody there to cover it.
Nothing new under the sun.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Just a couple minutes left. And again, we'll remind you that you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this first day of October from the Radio Ranch. And?
Yeah, I got a joke here. We got a minute. It's clean. Better be a funny one.
Better
it
be.
Is funny. A socialist, an illegal immigrant, and a Muslim walk into the bar. The bartender asks, "What would you like to drink this evening, Mr. President?" I hope you get that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, Jason, can you tell us what to expect at church tomorrow?
I can tell you if you show up, we'll have a surprise for you.
We'll have a surprise for you at church. So we do invite you to church. We talked about that earlier in this broadcast. Real men don't go to church. That kind of got us off on an area we talked about today about hypocrisy in the church. But we do invite you people out there to join us at church at scripturesforamerica.org. You can also go to sfaw.org. Click on the live video stream tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, starting at 10 o'clock Mountain. That's 11 o'clock Central and noon Eastern. So you East Coast people get to sleep in if you want to go to church with us. And we invite you to come there, tune in. You can watch it if you have a good high-speed internet. If you don't have a good high-speed internet, you better just click on the audio portion. But we do invite you to come to church with us on Sunday morning. You'll see a scriptural insight and study from Pastor Peters. And are we still in our Cowboy series there, Jason? We've just about got that wrapped up, don't we?
Yeah, I think we got one more.
I think we do. So that's the Scriptures from America that Pastor Peters recorded. We know you'll enjoy that. We've sure enjoyed watching them and showing them there. And you can join us for some good music. Shannon and I will be there leading some music. We'll have a communion message. You can join us for communion. And if you don't understand what communion is, we do have a booklet. And it's The Need for Communion. You can write and request that. And then we'll have a classic message from Pastor Peters with timeless truths coming from the pulpit of the LaPorte Church of Christ. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure that you are too. Well, man, I'd just like to say, boy, I wish we could find that mute button on that cell phone, huh? But we'd just like to tell everybody out there, thanks for joining us. Men, we thank you for joining us this morning. You know, Kyle had mentioned priorities earlier. Today's the first day of hunting season, opening morning. And we talked about how many times that we've been up at 3 in the morning and been sitting in a tree stand about this time. But our priorities have changed, and we're sure seeking the things of God over the things of man. And we hope you are doing the exact same thing. We'll finish with this one little verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually appraised. And that chapter ends up saying, but we have the mind of Christ. And we pray that you will have the mind of Christ also. We'll go out with the pastor's favorite song. See you in church tomorrow, men.
Thanks for letting me join you, men. Have a good day.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay calm.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Highs. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.